James chapter 4. I want to read to you verses 13 through the end of the chapter. That's where our study brings us this morning. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to them it is sin. We're familiar with some of these verses, and maybe not the whole passage together, but often people quote these verses. Often I quote parts of these verses in a study or to bring a point. I want to ask you this morning, what does your future hold? Now, I guess the Christian response to that is, we don't know who the future holds, but we know who holds the future. We say that. And that is true, but we still have plans for the future, don't we? You're making plans. And I don't think the Bible is against planning. And some of you can't live without a plan. You know, you plan it, you organize it, you got your day timer, your phone goes off to remind you of something because you've said it. That's just the way you are. That's your personality. But we plan. Some of you are planning right now, maybe you or for your children. They're graduating. They're graduating from high school and they're graduating from college, and you're thinking about what you're going to do, maybe a party you're going to have, or maybe if you're graduating, something special that you're going to do. If you're getting out of high school, you may be thinking about college. And maybe you've got your acceptance letter, or maybe you haven't, and you're waiting for that. And you're thinking about where you're going to live and where you're going to move and what you're going to take with you. Others of you may have made the decision that college is not for me. I'm going to enter the career field right now, and you're looking for a job. Others of you getting out of college are looking for a job and hoping you'll have that. Some of you may be thinking about a purchase down the road. You may be shopping for a new car right now or a new home. Some of you guys, you just bought a new gun for turkey season. Don't laugh, ladies, because you're looking for new outfits next week for Easter service. So we plan. Some of you, it may be in your business. You're thinking about adding a new vehicle or upgrading some equipment or opening a new office somewhere. Plans are a part of all of our lives. Maybe you're planning your vacation this summer or something you're going to do this week that the kids are out. And the Bible is not against planning. What's on your bucket list? Well, you know, one day I would like to, and you've got this dream or this vision of something you want to do one day. People ask me, or I've heard it said sometimes, what is your 5-year plan? I'm like, my what? Maybe 5-day plan or maybe 1-year plan, but I don't organize that well, even though I do try to organize. In the epistle of James, James, you remember, was the brother of Jesus who pastored the church at Jerusalem. He's writing to the 12 tribes, Christians, who have come to Jerusalem, been saved, and are scattered throughout the Roman Empire. And in verses 13 through 17 that we read, he gives an illustration of a businessman. And in this story, this businessman is thinking about opening up a business in another city. He's done his homework and he realized how well his product could do there, and this city maybe he could take advantage of the service that he gave to the people there. And so all the homework has been done and the decision has been made that he's going to move forward, and so he decides on a certain day he's going to leave and he's going to go to the city and he's going to begin his business. And in his mind, it's going to be a very profitable business. And he's probably going to have to stay there a year or so just to get things together and underway, and then maybe then he's going to hire somebody to come in and run the operation, and then he's going to leave. That's the story that is given to us here the illustration that's given to us here in James chapter 4. Now, there's nothing wrong with planning. There's nothing wrong with making a profit. you go to a store and buy groceries, Kroger or Food Lion or Walmart or wherever you go, they're going to make a profit. You're glad to get the food. They're glad to get your business. They advertise to get your business. Nothing wrong with a profit if it's done legitimately. Somebody had a vision. I don't know the person. I've not been to this restaurant, but somebody had a thought not long ago that they were going to purchase the library in Vinton. They were going to extend the parking lot, and they were going to try to turn it from a library into a restaurant on the inside, make it conducive. I haven't even been in the building yet. But whoever the owner of McAdoo's is had this vision. He was going to put something in Vinton. Maybe it'd be a little bit different restaurant than what Vinton has to offer. It'd be another choice. It would attract people maybe in Vinton and maybe in our area that go that way to eat if you don't go to Bedford, or maybe some people in Southeast Roanoke or other people who just like to go to McAdoo's. I've not been in there. I've been by the restaurant a couple times from the backside and seen the parking lot full, so I would say they're probably making a profit. If they're not making a profit, then you'll probably see another business there in the next couple years. So that's not the issue. The issue is not making a profit. The issue is not planning. The issue is not serving the people. That is taught in Scripture. And yet this passage, I think, tells us some things that we need to think about in our planning. So I want to talk to you this morning about three of the biggest mistakes you can make in your life. Now, I'm sure there's more than three, but I want to mention three of the biggest mistakes that you can make from James chapter 4 here. First of all, you're making a big mistake if you make your plans for the future and you don't include God. Nowhere in this passage is God thought in this businessman's mind. He's thinking about his business. He's thinking about a location. He's thinking about a time frame. He's thinking about a profit, and he's ready to move forward. But nowhere in his planning is God. Is God in your plans when you do what you do? Some of you are planning to have children. Some of you are planning to get rid of them. I mean graduation. What do I do now that I'm a new mom? What do I do with the ones I have? You know, I mean, that's just part of parenting. But do you include God in that? Lord, help me to be the parent I ought to be. Help me to model Jesus Christ before that. Maybe some of you are in a situation right now where you're looking at changing jobs, or you're out of a job, or you're looking at changing shifts or changing positions, and you're not sure exactly whether you should or whether you shouldn't. Maybe you're looking at expanding your business or taking on new customers or buying new equipment to update. Do you even include God in that? It's a mistake if you don't. Lord, where do you want me to work? What should I do? Well, I pray. I'm still not sure. How can we know God's direction for our life? Well, first of all, the Word of God is what you're doing, what you're involved in, whatever it might be. Is it in accordance with principles of Scripture? God's not going to want you to do anything or be involved in anything in your life which dishonors Him. Secondly, seek godly counsel. Maybe there's some other people that are a little bit wiser than you are in some of the things that you're concerned about, and you're wondering, what should I do and how should I go about this and should I even do it at all? Seek God's Word. Seek godly counsel. Seek the Lord in prayer. I think sometimes God gives us a peace in our heart about a decision we want to make. Or it's almost, I don't know how to describe it other than say it's like a red flag. It's just like, you know, just something just doesn't feel right here. And sometimes that's the way God works in our life, through our conscience and through our wills to sort of lead us or to hold us back from something that we're thinking about doing or doing. And then look for open doors and closed doors. Well, I thought God wanted me to have that job. Well, when they said no, that might have been God's answer to you. Now, I've had situations happen in my life where there was a clear no, and then later on, the person would call back and say yes, not in reference to a job, but other things. So, please include God. Even when I buy a car, I don't see why not. I think God's concerned about what you drive and whether it works or not. Especially if you're buying a used car, I think you really need to seek God then. Where you're living, how you should be involved in ministry, Seek the Lord urgently. Seek Him. I have had I'm going to say burden. That's probably not the correct word. But I've just had a burden on my heart the last few days about this coming week. I don't know what's going to go on. I've never had this before. I don't know what's going to go on this week. But I just think there's some spiritual warfare that I just want to ask you to specially pray for this week. What's going on in your life, Joey? Nothing different than what I normally do. I don't know. I don't know whether it's in concern with the Easter service and people that might need Christ, that there's a battle for salvation. I don't know, but I just sense like I've never sensed before that we just need to pray this week. You know, the Jews would pray every 3 hours. They had times of prayer, like 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 9 o'clock. And maybe every 3 hours you could just spend a few minutes just pray. Lord, just work in our church this week and the lives of our people and be especially close to them and be with us as we minister for your glory and just watch over us and care for us and use us. Don't leave God out of your plans. You're making a huge mistake if your life leaves God out. Well, I come to church every Sunday. Well, I'm not talking about coming to church. It's great. But what about Monday through Saturday? If we were to give a definition of an atheist, we would say an atheist is an individual who does not believe in God. Bobby Gupta last week talked about being a practical atheist. What is the difference between an atheist who does not believe in God and a Christian who believes in God but does not include Him in any of his thoughts or plans? Pretty similar, isn't it? So include God in your life, in your decisions, in your future planning. I mean, I've got plans for this summer. I've got plans for vacation this summer. I've got plans for someone coming to speak on Mother's Day or sing on Mother's Day. We've got plans for this week. Chris has mentioned some things we've got this week. Nothing wrong with planning, but don't leave God out of your plans. You're making a big mistake. Jesus had to pick and choose what He was going to do. Did Jesus heal everybody? No. He would go into a town and He would heal towns, but He didn't heal everybody. He said, I've come to do my Father's will. And when we do God's will, that means some things we've got to say yes to and some things we've got to say no to. We can't do everything. There's some things that we want to say yes to, we're going to have to say no to, or we're not going to spend time in prayer. And we're not going to spend time in God's Word. And we're not going to spend time this week writing a letter or making a phone call or sending a text or sending an email or making a visit to invite somebody to church because we're so busy and all this other stuff that may be good in and of itself, we miss the best. A second thing I would say, not only do we make a big mistake when we don't include God in our plans, but we make a big mistake when we assume that we can serve God later. Don't you know that your life is like a vapor? It's here for just a little while and then it's gone. Now, we're familiar with that. I mean, I don't need to go into illustrations about that. We go out on a cold day and our breath, the moisture of our breath has a little cloud and then it's gone and it's just like that. And James said, that's sort of what our life is. It's just like that. If you're young, you hear old people say this. You know, when you get older, life goes by quickly, more quickly. When you get old, you say, yeah. It just passes by. I think the tenor of my thoughts and the tenor of my messages as I get older may be concentrated more on remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. That's what Solomon said as he wrote the last of the three books that he wrote as an older man. And I think 38 times in the book, he says, life is meaningless, it's vain, it's empty, it's worthless. That's the way life is if you leave God out of your plans. He was the wisest, richest man that ever lived. People would seek him for wisdom. And as he got into his old age, he said, you know, as I look back, there's a lot of regrets I have in my life because, you know, yeah, I was the party guy and I was the rich guy and I seemed to have it all, but I left God out of a big part of my life. And please don't do that. Please, chapter 12, verse 1, remember your Creator now in the days of thy youth. You know, when I retire, I'm going to start serving God. Really? One of the first funerals I did was for a man who worked for the railroad. He retired, and it was either the next day or the next week he died of a heart attack. And I'm sure he, like many of us, think about, what's retirement going to be like? What am I going to do? What am I going to enjoy? He never got any of it. Now, we understand that we don't have tomorrow. We understand that we're not promised tomorrow, but we don't really live like that. I mean, we think we do. If I were to ask you this morning, probably every one of us or many of us in here could say, I know of a man or I know of a woman who went to a doctor and they got a clean bill of health and then the next week they were dead. We know that. We need to remember the brevity of our life. Peter Marshall, who was the chaplain for the Senate years ago, used to tell a story, a legend, about a merchant in Baghdad who sent his servant into the marketplace. And not long after he sent him, the servant came back, white as a ghost, trembling, and said, I was down at the marketplace and I saw this old woman down there. And she looked at me and she motioned to me and frightened me. It was as if I was looking death in the face. I need to take your horse and I need to go to Smyrna. I just need to get out of here. I just need to get away from her. And the merchant said, well, take my horse and go. A little bit later in the afternoon, the merchant was in that same city and saw that same woman. And she did look like death. And he went up to her and said, why did you scare my servant this morning? What do you mean? I didn't scare your servant this morning. That gesture that you made scared him. I didn't make a gesture to scare him. I was just surprised to see him in Baghdad. I've got an appointment with him in Smyrna tonight. We don't know. We don't know what tomorrow holds. Oh, we think we do. We make our plans, and we're thinking about our business and our profit and our retirement and our 401k and what we're going to do when we retire. And it's okay to make the plans, but you're making a big mistake if you don't filter in the fact that life is a vapor. I'm going to serve God one day. You know, I'm going to stop this habit one day. You know, I'm going to start reading my Bible. I started the first of this year and I made it through the middle of January, but next January I'm really going to do it. We don't know. I mean, I'm in the hospitals and I'm in the nursing homes on a regular basis, almost a weekly basis. I know what it is for people not to recover like they want to from a surgery. I see diabetes take portions of people's bodies off because the circulation flow is not there. I know what it's like when people have heart attacks and are hooked up to an oxygen machine and have other illnesses. They can't do what they once could do. It's not that there's anything wrong with them as far as what they want. It's just that our bodies get old and they break down. It may not be that we die tomorrow. You see, sometimes we judge our age by our birth date rather than the date of our death. You see, if you're 30 years old and you're going to die at 31, you're old. But if you're 50 and going to die at 100, you're middle-aged. But sometimes we just look at our life expectancy. And let me give you God's life expectancy. You're not promised tomorrow. So whatever you want to do, do it now. Don't put that off. The third biggest mistake we can make is this. Not doing today what God's called us to do. If any man knows what is right to do and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. A pastor was asking children one day in children's church, do any of you know what the sin of omission are? The sin of omission is. And one kid raised his hand. I know. Pastor called on him. The sins of omission. Those are sins that we should have done that we haven't done yet. No. That's not what sins of omission are. Sins of omission are things that we should do and we don't do. Any man who knows to do right and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. What has God laid on your heart to do? Not to not do, but to do. I was talking to Mike Chatton a couple weeks ago, and Mike said, and some of you may remember this, but he said there was a guy that came to our church in January and visited. He was from Texas. He said, I've just had him on my mind and my heart. I just need to go by and see him. I said, well, Mike, if the Lord's encouraging you to do that, you need to do it. And so over the next last couple weeks, he would tell me that. You know, I've been thinking about this guy, and he visited our church. I think he came to Sunday school, to Billy's class that Sunday. And so Mike told me yesterday, he said, this week I went by his house to try to get his address so I could write him a card. He said the guy was in the yard. And I got out, he said, I drove off and then I came back. You ever done that? And he said, hey, I know you. I saw you at Goodview Baptist Church. And Mike said, I couldn't believe that he remembered me. And he said, I want to invite you to the Easter service. I don't know if you're going to any other church. He said, no, I haven't been going to church anywhere. He said, I've been still moving back and forth, and I just haven't made that commitment yet, but thank you for... You see, I think when God puts somebody on your heart, he's putting something on their heart too. And so when God brings you together, you're sort of amazed that, I can't believe it worked out like that. Well, you were praying, but God was convicting you and challenging you and giving you an urgency to pray about a situation. So if there's somebody in your mind that you've been thinking about, we've been talking about Easter service the last couple weeks, and you're thinking, you know, I just do it. Well, I'm going to try to do it this week. Well, if you don't do it, it's sin. How can you say that? I didn't say that. James said that. If any man knows what's right to do and doesn't do it, to him, it is sin. Well, God hadn't been convicting me. Well, then it's not sin. Okay? But if God is laying something on your heart to do, and you know it's from God, you're sure it's from God. All things aren't. But the ones that are, do them. About 4 years ago, Punky Ferguson talked to me about getting involved in the, I hate to even say this, the Senior Tour golf tournament in Roanoke. You have to be at least 55. 4 years ago, that'll tell you where I'm at now. So I told Punky, now, the Senior Tour golf tournament is not like on television, okay? There's guys that are a lot better than I am. There's guys that play about like I do, and there's guys a lot worse than I am. So it's a good mix of everybody. And they just pair you up and you play. You play once a month for about 8 months. And so I told Punky, I said, yeah, I'll play with you. So by the end of that summer till the next spring, Punky passed away. And I thought, well, I still want to play. And so I did, and I played for a couple years in that. And last year, God began convicting me. I'll tell you what God used in my heart. We were playing up at, y'all got another half hour? We were playing up at a course in Floyd, Virginia. Oak something, I can't remember the name of it now. And I was paired with a guy, and we were riding together, and usually somewhere in the conversation, somebody asks, what do you do? Which either scares them off or draws them closer when I say I'm a pastor. And this guy said, oh, really? I used to room with Rick Vye in college. He's a great guy. And then he looked at me and said, how come you hadn't witnessed to me yet? Wait a minute. I'm trying to hit a 9-iron here to the green. Tell me I'm not witnessing to you and out here. I don't know. Over the last year and a half, the Lord's just sort of been challenging me along that line. And so what I'm going to do this year, and if I don't do it, it's sin. I'm making myself accountable to you today. Our first tournament is Monday after Easter. So don't call me that day. And if you need me to witness to you, call me. I'll come by after I finish the round. But what I'm going to do this year, there's a lot of booklets about golf and devotionals and things, and I'm going to get one of those, and I'm going to make out a card, and I'm going to put a gift certificate in for a restaurant for the three guys that I play with every round that I'll play, which will be about 8 or 9 rounds over between now and the end of the year or October or so. I'm just going to give them one at the end of the round. Here, I just wanted to give you something. Thank you for playing. Now, that means you can't cuss during the round. You really need to act Christ-like if you want something to be received well. And so I'm not saying that that's what you got to do, but I'm saying I don't want my future whole. I might be gone by next May. I don't know. But the Lord willing, That's what the passage said. This is God's will for me. This is what God's laid on my heart. I'm not saying he's laid it on your heart. I'm saying he's laid on my heart that this is what I want to do. Thank you, Mr. I'm not even going to say his name for telling me that at that course in Floyd. Sometimes the Holy Spirit, like a sword piercing your heart, says this is what you ought to do. You shouldn't do this. And we make a big mistake if we know what God wants us to do and we don't do it. We make a big mistake when we say, I'm going to serve God later on and not now. We may not have later on. We make a big mistake when we don't include God in all of our plans, not just church life, but all of our life. Don't make a big mistake. You're only here for a little while. Serve God faithfully while you're still of good mind and good body. Because one day we're going to stand before Him and have to give an answer for our life. Father, thank you for loving us. We know intellectually everything we studied today, that we're not promised tomorrow, that life is a vapor, that we ought to do what we should do. We know all those things, but help us to live by them. That's what will make a difference, and that's what will matter for eternity. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Good day. Lord bless you.